Happy Father's Day to all you fathers and father figures. let's pray as we get started. Travis, would you mind to lead us in prayer this morning?
God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here again. Thank you so much for all you're making in our lives. We're just so grateful for your amazing love that you are our good, good Father. Please speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to just set aside everything for a minute and open up your word and open up our hearts to what you have to say.
Amen. Thank you, Travis. All right, we are continuing on in our look at the book of Ephesians this morning. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about futile thinking, okay? The futility of thinking that darkens hearts and confuses minds and leaves you. It's kind of like I said, it's when you see someone and they have self-destructive behaviors or attitudes or actions, and you think, how in the world can those people act that way? How in the world can they keep doing that? How in the world can they think it's okay to act that way? That's what we're talking about. We talk about futility of thinking. Okay, we talked about that for a couple of weeks, and we're on that same sort of note. We shift gears just a little bit as we get into Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Okay, and that, you know, walking in the way of love, is the centrality of the Bible. That is the heart of the Bible. Loving God, loving people, and serving the world is our motto. That's why we do what we do. That's why we came here. That's why we started this thing, is because we see that love that God has for people is the essential truth of all creation. Okay? It's absolutely the heart of it. So we could talk about this first half of this verse forever. And I think we have many, many times here. I think we spent so much time talking about this, and we still have just barely scratched the surface of what it means to love people, and not feelings and not emotions, but love in terms of wishing the best, wishing the good for the other person, making choices for the sake of the other person, giving away, giving up of ourselves for the other person. We've talked about that at great length, and we'll never stop. But that's not where I want to stop today. It's not where I want to focus, because it's not all Paul has to say here in this few paragraphs, in this idea, this section of this letter. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What do you think about fragrant offering? What does fragrant bring to your mind? What's a fragrant offering? Incense, yeah, something that smells good, some nice herbs. Is that what he's talking about? What is fragrant about offerings in the Old Testament? It's burning flesh. Okay, that is the fragrance we're talking about here. We're talking about fragrant from the smoke and from the fire with this sacrifice. We're talking about an offering, a sacrifice that is costly. And it's not cheap, and it's not cute. It's something, this sacrifice, this offering that Christ made on our behalf means something, and it's serious. Okay? It costs something. It wasn't easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. And that's the example that we have. So walk in this way of love, just as Christ did, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. This way of love that we are invited into comes with a lot of imperatives on the type of people that we are and how we act, right? Not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. But rather, its opposite, thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, though such a person is an idolater, as any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, I want to reemphasize, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Inheritance in the kingdom of God doesn't mean you go to heaven when you die. It doesn't say no one who's impure gets to go to heaven when they die. Inheritance in the kingdom of God is God's rule, reign, authority, the control of God over this cosmos, this present but not yet fully present, this already here but not yet fully here type of kingdom that is breaking into this world now where things are becoming as God wants them to be. All right? And we are inherited, we have an inheritance in that kingdom just like Caesar Augustus had an inheritance from Julius Caesar. Okay, Julius Caesar says, this is my successor. He gets my name. He takes over when I die. He has my inheritance. He becomes the emperor when I'm done, when I leave. That's the sort of inheritance that we have in the kingdom of God. We have a participatory inheritance in this kingdom. We are in Jesus' line of succession. Okay? It's not making sense to some of you, but we've got something you got to struggle with, you got to wrestle with. We're in that line of succession. This is a responsibility and a participation. It says the people who are, you know, people who are immoral and impure and greedy, whose lives are defined by these things, whose lives aren't aligned with this kingdom, they are in the line of succession. They are not participating in this. Are you with me? We're not talking about ultimate destination here. That's a question for another day. Because their lives aren't aligned with what Jesus wants. You better make sure yours is. Because you have a job, you have an inheritance, you are in this line of succession. You have something to do with your life. You have something to do with your life. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Not everyone's going to be on your team. When you're walking in this way of love, if you're taking this seriously and you're working for the good of others and you're putting others ahead of yourselves, not everyone's going to buy into this. And you can't partner yourself. It doesn't mean you can't have friends who are lost or anything like that. You can't hang out with people who are lost. Obviously, you know, Jesus hung out with all the riffraff and the sinners, and he, you know, spent his life with people and got a bad reputation because of the people he surrounded himself with. He said, you can't, but Jesus' life, his goal, his aim was not aligned in partnership with those sorts of people, was it? Do not be partners with them. Be careful what you do with your life and the direction you take your life. For you were once darkness. But he says, it's not that you're better than anybody else. Okay? Because you were the same way. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. You know, if you are living your life, you know, if you're living out this inheritance in the kingdom of God, you are participating with God in His kingdom, in this world. If you are walking in the way of love, you are light. Live as a children of light. So what does that mean? Well, the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. That your responsibility to find out for you what pleases the Lord, what God wants out of your life, your attitudes, your decisions, your actions, the kind of person you are. Find it out. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. So we're talking about fruit again, you know, fruit and then fruitless. So the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So what would be the fruit of darkness? Well, I guess the opposite would be badness, unrighteousness, and deceit, right? They have nothing to do with that. But rather expose them. Rather expose these shameful deeds of darkness, right? Expose. Does that mean we, you know, we talk about everybody, we bring it up and we, you know, point out everyone's faults, and, you know, is that what expose means? hey, dude, Travis, you are really screwed up, man. You know, we need to have a talk. I'm going to let everyone know what Travis's problems are. But that means expose it? No. Because it says it's shameful to even mention what disobedient do in secret. Well, if you can't even talk about it, if you can't mention it, how do you expose it? Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. How do you expose the shame, the fruitless deeds of darkness? By being light with who you are. With the person you are should stand in stark contrast to the sorts of people who are in this world whose thinking is futile. Okay? Does that make sense? Stark enough contrast that everyone knows the difference. Okay? Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Because why do we want to be a light in these dark places? Because we want there to be more lights. Because we want this world to be lit. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Everything that is illuminated becomes light. So I just said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. So be very careful then how you live. Okay? Be very careful how you live. This sounds like a warning. And it is, I suppose. And this has been very somber so far. What I'm saying is pretty heavy so far, right? Would you say yes? And when God speaking through His Word says, be very careful how you live, what's our response? Fear. How am I, you know, it's heaviness, it's weight, it's careful. Whoa. God says, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Okay? So you're thinking, okay, what do I need to do to be wise? What rules do I need to follow? You know, how can I make sure I'm on the right page, I'm on the right team, that I've got all my, you know, T's dotted and I's crossed? Is that what he says? And to make sure, not as unwise, but as wise. Okay, let's think about this. We're not at the right place if we're thinking about this in terms of a weight, of a threat, of heaviness. We're not in the right place with this at all. Okay? Who's a father? Or a parent? Mother? Okay. How many of you hope that your children grow up to be wise? How many of you want your children to grow up to be unwise? How many of you want your children to grow up to be foolish? How many of you want your children, truly wish your children to grow up to be good people? That's probably the deepest wish of all of it. That's exactly what we're talking about here. God's not saying, be careful how you live because I'm going to smack you down into hell at the first opportunity, the first time you mess up. Be careful how you live because I want my children to be what I made them to be. I want my children to be wise. I want my children to grow up. I want my children to be part of what I'm doing in this world. You see the difference and the distinction between those two ways of thinking about this? Be careful how you live. Because it's for your own good. It is for your good. Trust me. I mean, who thinks we need to trust in God? Have faith in God. That's what this means. It's to have faith that God is good and that His way of life is good. To trust Him. When He says, if you are wise, if you make good choices, your life will be better. You with me? Be very careful then how you live. Because this is serious. We're talking about the kind of people that you yourselves are becoming. You know, that's kind of a, you know, something that kids, you know, Chad talks about all the time, these teenagers, and you know, he teaches in high school. They don't understand that their choices matter. But they don't understand that there's any connection whatsoever between, you know, coming to class and studying and doing your work and being a good student and not being a little twerp all the time. They don't understand there's any connection whatsoever between the kind of choices they are making and their future and the kind of people they're becoming. There's a complete disconnect there. I'm saying this, your choices matter. The kind of person you become matters. Okay? Not as unwise, but as wise. Just act like you have some sense. Don't live like an idiot. Because it matters. Be careful of making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. You know, redeeming the time is the literal, you know, language here. Make the most of every opportunity. You know, taking, redeeming, buying each minute back. Each moment that we have is wringing it out of all of its goodness and all of its potential and all of the opportunities in every minute we have. Don't waste your life, is what this says. Don't waste your time. Because the days are evil. Because a lot's at stake. And don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Don't be an idiot. Don't be foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. And okay. So we're shifting here. We're going to talk about what the Lord's will is. We talked about what the Lord's will isn't. This foolishness, you know, just making bad choices, becoming a bad person, partnering yourself with darkness, not taking your responsibility and your opportunities seriously, wasting your time. That's foolishness, okay? You know, unadulthood, basically, I guess, is a way of thinking about it. So what is the Lord's will? Understand what the Lord's will is. And he ends this passage with this poetic flourish, okay? So I want to prepare you for... I'm going to stretch you here just a little bit, okay? And hopefully this makes as much sense to anybody else as it does to me, because I haven't said it out loud yet, okay? So we'll see how this goes. This is a poetic flourish that he finishes with. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's not the poetic flourish, okay? Just saying, don't, you know, again, we're talking, don't be stupid, don't be an idiot, you know, don't inebriate yourself, don't try to create your own reality, don't reject this reality of God's and attempt to create your own reality with substances and with altering yourself, okay? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, he's saying, don't reject this reality. You know, engage with this world. Don't reject this reality. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, for the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, saying, don't reject this reality. You know, inebriate yourself. Instead, do what? What's he say? Huh? Somebody said sing? Who said that? That's a trick. Yes, I'm glad it was you, because I don't feel bad saying, no, you're wrong. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What does he say? Does he say sing to each other? Does he say sing to each other?
No.
No. Okay, and I look, and again, maybe this isn't going to make sense because I like to thought, well, yeah, that's so clear. So I go back and I look at the Greek concordance, on Google, and I look up all these commentaries from other smart guys in the past and see what they have to say. And yeah, it literally says speaking to one another, and they go into great length that it's laleo, not lego or whatever. So it's talking about the act of speaking, the act of speech, the act of communication. It goes into great length to talk about that. Speaking literally says speaking. This is very close to this is the original language. It's the original idea. Speaking to one another. The psalms, hymns, and song from the Spirit. So they go into great length to talk about how this literally says speaking, and then they all break into actually singing and what kind of songs it's okay to sing in church and what a psalm is and a hymn is and a song from the Spirit is. Does that not make any sense to anybody else? That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't say that we should sing to each other. I think the reason that, but every time up until this week I've read this, I've thought about, okay, yeah, this is talking about singing songs and whatnot. It's talking about manual here, right? Because I think we're bringing our own culture, our own predispositions into this verse. And because when we think about being filled with the Spirit, when we think about speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, indeed, when we think about anything that has to do with God, and we think about church, this is what we think about. Right? Like many of us, to one extent or the other, or most of us, when we think about God's stuff, we associate it with this. Okay, or because we're cool, we associate it with Two City Shopping Center. Right? Because this God stuff happens in church, right? Church is something you go to. Church is something that has an approximate starting time. Right? Am I right? Am I right? Okay, I'm not the only one. We think God's stuff happens in church. That is so utterly and completely, totally backwards. I wish we could invent a word to talk about how we come here. Can we all commit together to put our heads together and find out something to call what we do here on Sunday mornings and not, for the love of Pete, say we're going to church? That is not what we are doing. That is not what we are doing here. You are the church. The work of God happens in your lives. The kingdom of God is where you live and you breathe. It's where you work. It's where you parent. It's where you eat. It's where you exercise. It's where you talk to each other. That is where the battle is. That's where the darkness is. That is where we have to redeem the time. It's out there in our lives. That's where the fight is. That's where the work of God happens. This meeting is not a place for you to bring your lost loved ones in hopes that they get saved. This is a retreat. This is not the battle. This is not the fight. This is a retreat, a temporary reprieve from the fight. We get to be with the church for a while. We're energized and recharged and hopefully equipped to go out and be the church. God's work doesn't happen inside of a building any more than it does in your bathroom at home. That's really important to get. Because what we do, we bring this sort of understanding that this is a church. Who in here would say this is a church? Yeah. And it's our normal everyday language. Look, we got to quit doing that. You got to help me not to do that. Because we bring that to verses like this, and we think, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Okay, so I guess that means when we come to church, we really need to sing together. Come on.
We're going to break out to
like
a musical.
Yeah, exactly. Like a musical. Is this encouraging us to show up at a church meeting on Sunday mornings and sing out loud with each other? Maybe it is. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe everyone else has ever written about this verse that I can find was right. But man, I sure don't get that. Let me give you the other part of this. Okay. Let me show you what I think it is like. This is poetry. I'm going to read you another poem, okay? From Zephaniah. Zephaniah is all about the judgment of God and about the restoration, you know, of his people after that judgment, like most of the prophets. Right after he said, "I'm going to kill all of you, and you're going to be punished." "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment and has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm." On that day they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." I love that line. He will rejoice over you, his people, with joyful songs. Okay. Now, who anthropomorphizes to the extent where he actually, this literally means God's going to sing about us? I don't think that's the implication here. Maybe that's true or not. We wouldn't read that this way, would we? How about the way God feels about you? It's like a song. God sings over you. God is so glad to have you. I'm talking about emotion, we're talking about just rejoicing over you with joyfulness. That's how God feels about his redeemed people. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So, speak to each other joyful songs. Converse with one another with joyful songs. May your life be like a song. When you interact with each other, it should be just like a song. It should be singing. And so many of you guys, you in this community, I won't say church, in this community, your lives are like that. Your lives are songs. Think about the Owenses. They're not here. I'll start with them. Think about Chad and Mandy. Yeah, they both left, you know, careers to go back to college, you know, in their 20s and 30s to become, you know, teachers, public school teachers. Okay, not a smart move, right? I mean, do you think they did that? If they did that to make money, that was pretty dumb. But why did they do that? Because they wanted to serve kids. They wanted to serve their community. They wanted to pour themselves out into people. Yeah. When they decided to build their family, what'd they do? They went through, you wouldn't believe the heartache, especially with Micah, the first time through, the heartache and the stress and the cost and this is such a huge decision, a huge movement to go and to adopt an orphan, a child who had no family and very little hope. And brought him here, and he is their son. He is there. Now, how can you possibly rescue someone to a greater extent than that? Can you possibly do anything else for any human being ever more? That's more than giving that orphan a family. Can you? Name it. I challenge you. No. That is just a literal rescue. Twice. Working on the third time. And think about Chad and the energy he pours into, you know, his ministry, into these relationships he developed with the people in different parts of the world. Man, their lives are like a song. You get what I'm saying? It's not something that you can just write down and explain. It's just it's unexplainable. You can't communicate it in prose. It's just a song. Our lives are a song. So many of you are exactly the same way. You know, Brother Travis sitting over here. Man, how many people know Travis? You know his heart. I don't know anybody that the heart of humility and kindness and this quiet but yet strong spirit, the caring and the love. He is a song. And Mark, you know, his family, you think about the loss they've been through over the past year. And the strength that they exhibit in that. And the fact that they don't, haven't got given up to bitterness or to despair, but they still move forward and they still serve and they still love. They're still here. Your life may be a minor key right now, man. It is a song. You could go over and over and over. Lisa. I mean, she's so humble, and she can talk about all the time about what a wretched person she is. And she's one of the best people that ever walked the face of this earth. You are a song. You should sing to each other. Be filled, but you don't need to reject this reality. Try to create your own. You should sing to each other. Your lives and your lives together should be a symphony. It says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Now are we talking about singing songs in church? Sing and make, what does it mean to sing from your heart? Sing like you really feel it, right? Like you really mean it. What about your heart? When you say you love somebody from the bottom of your heart, what do you mean? You just really, I really feel so good about you. Really feel like I love you so much. Okay, but we're not, you know, first century people in the Greek culture, in the Greco-Roman culture. Because them, you know, they don't understand that everything really is in our mind. When we say that we feel, you know, that we do something from our heart, we know that we're talking about our brain, but we're just equating that to our emotions, right? We think the heart is kind of the seat of our emotions. That's what we mean when we say that. Would you agree? Okay. But we've kind of got it backwards. Because to these guys, and it's in the Bible a lot, when you talk about your emotions and the seat of your emotions, that was your bowels. Okay? Which is, it very much doesn't mesh into our culture. You'll never say, I love you with all my bowels. Would you? My bowels move because of you. So if we're not talking about your emotions, when he says heart, what do you mean? It's the word cardia. It's, you know, literally heart. They literally knew that there was an organ in our body. You know, they called it the heart, the cardia. And they thought, that's where we got our mind, our character, our inner self, our will, our intentions. Okay? It is sing from your heart. It's not sing from your heart, you know, butterflies and rainbows. It's sing from your heart with who you are, with what you decide, with your intellect, with your will, with your intentions. You felt, for these guys, you felt with your bowels and you did. You had your will and your intentions, your intellect, and you decided with your heart. Okay? So sing and make music from your heart, not from your heart, but from your heart to the Lord. With what you decide. With what you choose. Intentionally and on purpose. Decide to sing to the Lord. Decide for your life to become a song to God. sing and make music from your heart for the Lord. Decide it. Decide what kind of life you're going to be living. You know, I was in a very challenging conversation yesterday. And I heard one man ask another some very, very, very good questions. Like, how do you feel like you're doing in your life? Okay? How do you feel like your life is going? Very good question. How do you feel like you are doing spiritually? How is your relationship with God? How do you feel like you're doing spiritually? What do you want to do with your life? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? Is there anything you want to work towards? Is there any changes you need to make? Good questions, right? And dude didn't have any good answers. No good answers. And it bothered me, and I didn't know why it was bothering me until I realized those are the exact same questions we should all be asking ourselves. It is so easy. It is so incredibly easy to do this. It is so easy to show up. It is so easy to follow the rules. It is so easy to play church. It is so easy to pretend that you're just fine. That you are okay and there's nothing about me that needs to change. That I am top of my game. It is so easy to be complacent. It is so easy to waste our time. It's so easy to waste our lives. I know. So what if we ask yourselves those questions? How do you feel like you're doing in your life right now? How do you feel like your life is going? How do you feel like you're doing spiritually right now? You know, for me, if somebody asked me that question, you know, the majority of my life over these years, you know, there have been periods, you know, fluctuations, but for the majority of my life, those periods are like cruise control. You know what I mean? Cruise control. Let's drive to church on Sundays and get that bit of it taken care of and go on about my business. See what I'm saying? How do you feel like you're doing spiritually? How do you feel like you are mentally and emotionally? You know, what are your aspirations? What do you want to work towards in your life? Ask yourselves those questions. Ask yourself those questions, and you should get to the point where you can have some answers. That's how we redeem the time. We figure out where we are, honestly, and we figure out where we need to be and where we want to be with our lives, spiritually and emotionally and mentally and relationally. And we decide with our cardia, with our heart, to do it, to get there. To find out how. And we sing together on the way. What do you want out of your life? And I, you know, I was asking myself that question last night. And I, you know, thinking, you know, I have... My life is the most fortunate life in the whole world. I mean, it really is. It always has been. I have no idea why. It's just... completely just blessed and fortunate, just luck, just born. I don't know, to a great family. You know, a snagged you know, this girl who, you know, the day after she turned 16, because that's when she gets start dating, and never left, you know, never a moment apart relationally since. And you guys know her. She's one of the best women in the entire world. I mean, how lucky am I to have, you know, Michelle Johnner Stamper as my wife? Very. Thank you. Yeah. I want to be the husband she deserves. We had a son out of the blue, you know, I don't know how that happened. And mostly because of her, he's turned out to be, you know, this, you know, really cool little young man. He's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but really cool little boy. You know, very intelligent, very smart, very fun to be around, you know, very respectful and good manners. And man, just what a great, you know, who thinks my boy's a great kid? You know, I want to be the father he deserves. He doesn't deserve complacency. He doesn't deserve cruise control. He doesn't deserve the leftovers. Does he? No. You think about you guys in this room. I'm not going to call it a church. Do you know how lucky you are, we are, to have each other? Who's ever been in another? There are. This is not unique, you know. Don't get me wrong. I have never been in any other place, in any other worship congregation, with the kind of relationships that we have here. Is anybody else? You know how many people, you know, I have, you, and it's you guys, so many relationships, so many friends, beyond friends, family. My life is full to the top with you guys. And I want to be the teacher and the pastor that you guys deserve. Those are my aspirations. Those are my dreams. And you know what? You have to decide. I have to decide with my cardia to sing that kind of song. We have to decide what we want to be with our lives, what we want our lives to be, the kinds of people we want to be. And we got to get on a sheet of music and we have to sing it together. Sing and make music from your heart. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.